So, as mentioned, we're here to hear Brother Ted's topic on the King's reign. We're going to take a reading from the Book of Kings. First Book of Kings, chapter 4, and we'll commence at verse 20 to the end. So my pleasure then to hand over to Ted. Looking forward to that, Ted.
Yeah, thanks, Ralph, and good evening, everyone. So we're looking at Psalm 72 tonight, but I'm not just going to do a verse-by-verse exposition of Psalm 72. We're going to do a bit of brainstorming, and this is the overview of what we're doing tonight. We're going to talk about an ideal scenario. There's a summary of Psalm 72, and then the three points there's how Solomon's reign was a forerunner of God's future kingdom on earth, and how was Solomon qualified to be God's king on earth, and how did he demonstrate God's character in his reign. And then we're going to look at God's future kingdom on earth, its main purpose and the goal, the kinsman redeemer. And if we get a bit of time at the end, we can say, how do we see our role in the future kingdom? And that's over to you. So, but the contribution I want is those three questions that are posed in the middle there. So the ideal scenario. Now, a few of the sports people will know who that is. Anyone got any idea? Peter Volandis. Now, why am I bringing up Peter Volandis here? Well, Peter Volandis has become quite famous in the HR world because he's the head man of rugby in New South Wales and of horse racing. And when the first lockdown happened with COVID and the sports codes all had to go, everything was stopped, AFL, everything, no contact sport. And when things started to improve a little bit, they had to start thinking about when they could get started again, because these sports were losing money hand over fist. They'd paid all the players and the big wages. There was no crowds, no sponsorship, no television. So they had to get back on their feet as soon as possible. And this man here proposed a scenario and set a date of May 28, which was way ahead. I think the AFL was 3 weeks after that. And against all the advice from the medical people, the medical people that are driving the stuff in Victoria, and against any obstacles through the government, he just pushed on. So he established a scenario. He said, well, we reckon we can have it right by May 28th, and that was it. And in the leadership circles, and he didn't actually say this, it was Ferguson, who's a soccer guy, said, as a leader, you can't run from one side of the ship to the other. People need to feel that you have unshakable confidence in a particular approach. If you can't show this, you'll lose the team very quickly. And why are we introducing that tonight? Because the proposal in Psalm 72 about the ideal reign of the king, and in the first place it was Solomon. And but we know, of course, that Psalm 72, Solomon partially fulfilled that, but he couldn't. He fell away quite quickly because just of all the things that were around him that he got led into. So this is a breakdown of Psalm 72, and that's the five sort of breakdowns about a just reign, a universal reign, a compassionate reign, a prosperous reign, and a glorious reign. And Solomon, who's thought to be the writer of this psalm, he went in with this approach. This was the ideal scenario. This is how we're going to make it work. And he, Solomon, as we read, was very, very committed to this cause. He thought he could do it. He was going to be God's king of the kingdom of God on earth. Now, going back a fair while ago, when we were in Sunday school, and you may remember this, our lessons told us that God's kingdom had been established on the earth already in the form of Solomon's reign. Is that right? Have I got that right? I'm not sure whether they teach that now, do they? I don't know. But it doesn't matter. Because Solomon was, he did in those 40 years start off really well. And he had a lot of things going for him. So the psalm, when he wrote this psalm, he said in a very positive manner, "Give the gift of wise rule to the king, O God. The gift of just rule to the crown prince. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people. And may he defend the cause of the poor and needy and give deliverance to the children of the needy." So it was a very positive cause. He set it out as the ideal scenario. So what we're going to do now is come to those three questions that we posed before. And this is the first of them. I'm going to drag the board over. So anyone at home who wants to contribute, as we said, can send a message in to Ralph. And I'm led to believe that the Sunday school students here have been doing Solomon's Reign this year. Is that right? And you've just had exams on it? Exams, if that's the right word. Anyway, we'll drag this over.
She's probably taking notes at home and going to send out that wonderful summary that she does each week. Whoops. So is that going to... No, well, it's not going to really impact on the screen for the time of that, so...
All righty. So, perhaps we can start off with the question of the character of Solomon.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Right-click here, so you've got black screen. So right-click here, just turn it off.
So what have we got to do to start it again?
Turn it on.
Yeah, okay, that'll be better.
Turn your mic on.
Turn the mic?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. Thought I'd done the job. So Solomon's character in terms of how that character represented God. Okay. Over to you, God. Beautiful. That's the one we always think about, isn't it? What else?
Justice.
Yep.
Righteousness.
Yep. The others?
Obedience.
What was it, one, Ben?
Obedience was
in the beginning, right? Sorry, I wasn't on the line.
Peace.
Peacefulness. It's a characteristic, isn't it? It wasn't at the start, was it? It was pretty rough at the start of the reign.
He had largeness.
Largeness of heart.
Curiosity.
Very good one. Curiosity, because he learnt about so much, didn't he? Curiosity, something like that, yeah. Any more?
Compassion.
Fantastic.
Visionary.
Okay.
A man of Proverbs.
Is that a character?
I had a passion to share, didn't
I? Yep. Some of these fit in to the other question as well.
Faith.
Faithfulness. Yep. Faithfulness to God and to his people.
A lover of trees.
Yep. What do you call that? A
botanist.
A botanist, yeah.
Curious.
Yep.
So,
sorry.
He might have been into birds as well.
He was into birds. He was into birds. Because it says he was into animals and birds and all of that. Yep. Okay, so any others? Or that's a pretty good list, isn't it?
He inspired others. Because when the Queen of Sheba came, she was impressed by how his people acted around him.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly inspired that obedience and that willingness.
Yep, so how would you describe that?
Charismatic.
Leadership.
Leadership. Fantastic. Because as we just said, if you don't have a leader, things don't happen, do they? And they inspire others. They don't dominate others. They inspire others.
And I think positivity is the other thing that's
about yep.
to lead.
Yep.
He wasn't just he didn't just lead people, but they were happy.
Yep. Okay.
Weaknesses like Castle.
Sorry, I'm not here.
He had weaknesses. Like
he did, yes. We'll come to those. But thank you. So hold that thought. That's a good one. Yep. Okay. So is there any more there? Because what we'll move on to now is looking at how he was a forerunner of Christ, of the kingdom of God that's going to be established on the earth soon. So Solomon, and some of them mentioned already, a forerunner.
There'll be war no more.
There'll be what?
War no more.
War no more. That rhymes, doesn't it? So how does that relate to Solomon? Because what happened in Solomon's reign?
There was peace.
There was peace. Excellent. There was peace. So you're getting the point? So things that happened in Solomon's kingdom on earth in the time of the 40 years and what's going to happen in the future?
Nations will come and pay respect to Christ.
Yep, excellent. They bought presents to Solomon. What sort of presents?
Herbs and spices.
Yep, gold. And what else? Yep. Yep, we've read some of it there tonight, but okay. He built a temple.
Prosperity. Silver was as nothing in his kingdom.
Yes, it says in the... We'll put them up in a moment on the overhead, but he made silver and gold as though it was... yeah.
There wasn't a lot of hunger. There was no hunger. They lacked nothing.
What do you mean?
Like the nation was so prosperous, but they were also... There was no hunger.
Oh, okay, there was prosperity... and everyone benefited?
Yeah.
And in verse 6 it talks about coming down like rain upon the blown grass, so the human population was refreshed and rejuvenated after all the horror that
yep.
happened before him.
And it showed how. Someone mentioned it before in one of these here.
Positivity.
So I can't remember what was said, but
they were happy.
The people were happy. And that was a hallmark of his reign, wasn't it? So, and we'll turn up a couple of verses in a moment, because What did the Queen of Sheba observe when she came to the court?
His servants.
We're happy.
Happy? The people, how happy are your servants? How happy are all the people? And because of the prosperity and everyone was fed, they were all, you know, they're all very, very, very happy. So that's a forerunner to the kingdom of God on earth, isn't it?
Throne of David.
Yep, that's a good one. That's one I haven't got in my list. So, but it's true, isn't it? He sat on the throne of David, the one that was promised in 2 Samuel 7, is it? Yep.
Justice and right judgment.
Excellent.
So Solomon was renowned for
yep.
with the right answer, even like with the babies.
That's right. Yep, we're going to mention that one. And I've got a list that I've made up. We're well on the way now.
Deliverance and redemption.
First one, I heard redemption.
Deliverance. And redemption.
Yep.
Verses 12 to 14.
And that's certainly what Jesus will be about in the future age, isn't it?
Intercession. So when he dedicated the temple, he actually said a prayer of intercession for everyone in the future that turned to God.
Excellent. That's a really good one. Yep.
With the war no more, also in verse 11 of Psalms, the nation shall serve him, so he'll humble their enemies. So mm-hmm. it sort of ties in with the war no more.
Yep. Well, he created peace and he had victory, didn't he? Victory from all the nations around. Which actually, it's very interesting because that's the first time in Israel's history that they controlled that area of territory that was promised in the first case. In the 480 years that it talks about since Israel came out of Egypt, they were tribes in the land. And occasionally they waxed and waned, but they never controlled all of this particular area. So this is the first time in that 480 years. Yeah.
So he's quite an amazing educator. He compiled books and writing. Stories that common people could grasp quickly.
Fantastic. Yep, that's it.
He's a good judge of character and understood how human nature thinks.
And Jesus was like that, wasn't he? He could tell people before they opened their mouth, really. Yep. When you run out, well, I'll put the list up I've got. And we can run through a few verses to back it up. We done? Yep. So how do I get this going again, Ben? Sorry.
I just try and space for it to work.
It does? Good. No doubt about it. Whoops. Spacebar, yeah. So how was Solomon qualified to be God's king on earth? So we're looking at those there. So so Solomon sat on God's throne as king over his kingdom in Jerusalem. So if you come over to 2 Chronicles... nine, verse 8. And we read, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on his throne as king for the Lord your God, because your God loved Israel and would establish them forever. He has made you king over them, that you may execute justice and righteousness." So we're getting into some of the points that we've had here, haven't we? So that's good.
So the temple, James, I think, mentioned that one. In his case, it was built with the resources from the Gentiles, wasn't it? So who supplied most of the stuff? Well, a lot of the gear.
Hiram.
Yeah, so they got beautiful cedars of Lebanon to build, and they brought in stone and all that sort of stuff. And, of course, in the future, there will be another temple built. And I think the resources of the world will be used as well in that probably. So Israel was at its largest extent in Solomon's kingdom. It was also at its political strongest. Nations submitted to Solomon. So if you come over to in 2 Chronicles 9, just go down to verse 26. And it said, he ruled over all the kings from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And this is the other one. And the king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stone. So that was a huge kingdom, which was not seen again won't be until the kingdom comes. And the king was king over a people like the dust of the earth. Promises to Abraham were initially fulfilled. So if you look at in the same chapter, we've just read it, verse 26. Does it say? No, that can't be the verse. Yeah, 1 Kings 4, you've got it. Yep, 1 Kings 4. So that was in our reading, was it? 21. That's what it was. That doesn't seem right. Anyhow, it does say somewhere that he... Anyone see it? Oh, there it is in verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore. So that's to do with the... verse 27, because it actually...
No, 20.
Where did I miss that? Oh, yeah, Judah and Israel were as many as the sand of the sea. They ate and drank and were happy. And Solomon ruled over all those kingdoms. Okay. We got a lot of these, didn't we? And Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and fig tree, and there was great fertility. And that's in verse 25 there of that chapter. Yep. So... yeah, and Judah and Israel lived in safety from Dan to Beersheba, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, all the days of Solomon. And that'd be the first time in those 480 years since they come out of Egypt that that had happened. Because they're always dwelling in fear, weren't they? In the times of the judges, same time of Saul, all the way through. So the happiness of Solomon's servants as they sat down to food and wine and listened to Solomon's wisdom. So that was good because someone got that one before. That was fantastic. And that's in early on in that chapter of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 9. First of Chronicles 9, verses 3 and 4 and 7. No, that must be wrong. Second of Chronicles 9, sorry. My mistake. And we find in verse 3... Yes, Sorry, I've got the wrong quote there. But the people sat, it said that the people...
Verse 7.
Verse 7, is it? Okay, so it is there somewhere. Yep, until the, I do not believe the reports until they, mine own eyes had seen it, and behold, half the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. And happy are your wives, happy your servants, who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. And so that's... Continuing on. So after Solomon's ascension, there was judgment and reward in the form of being able to eat at his table. And you can remember immediately after he was... He'd assumed the throne, there was the payback to a lot of people, but then he rewarded some as well. And that was the way they rewarded people in those days. And remember David did that with Mephibosheth, wasn't it? They were able to come and sit at his table, and he looked after him for the rest of his life. So that was a favour that he gave. The priests were dressed in white linen and praising God with one sound. So how's that, how does that look forward? What happens in the kingdom time? Revelation is the clue. Revelation 19 verse 8. And it was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. The kingdom was ruled by king priests with 12 deputy rulers who provided food each month. So there was the king priests, and that relates to Revelation 5, doesn't it? And the people will reign with Jesus as king priests. And 12 deputy rulers. So Solomon was smart enough to divide the country up into 12 regions, and they had to supply all the food for the temple and for the house of Solomon. But they took it in turns. And that would have been fairly costly, wouldn't it, if you looked at how much food they consumed that they had to find. And that's what happened in England too one time, because in Henry VIII's rule, they went on a procession around, and whichever castle he landed at, they had to feed the whole retinue, and Queen Elizabeth's time too. The nations bring presents to him. We've already talked about that one. The Queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon manifested in the joy of his servants, and therefore she believed. So it's a powerful thing, isn't it, when people come into an organisation, or in this case into Solomon's kingdom, and they see that people are happy, it's prosperous, and they're being looked after, and people sense that and they believe how good it is. Jerusalem was the centre for wisdom and worship in the region, and that will be just as in the kingdom, won't it? Solomon stressed in Proverbs that wisdom brings joy even in this life. So that wisdom which he possessed, he used it in this life. And wisdom will be the hallmark of the kingdom. And Solomon's wisdom, it says, concerned the name of the Lord. So when he was focused on that, he did really, really well. His wisdom was able to guide Israel, but it concerned the natural creation as the Lord's parable. And James put that one really, really well, because he knew so much about all the different things from nature and the things around him. And that's how Jesus taught, wasn't it? He taught about little things that people saw every day in their everyday life. The Queen of Sheba poured out her soul to Solomon, although she was a famous queen. And she was so overcome by what she saw in that, that she was, even though she was a queen that had a lot of glory, she was impressed by that. And the Queen of Sheba was an ambassador, one of many, Solomon reigned over all the kings. So she was an ambassador, came from a far country, and it says, and we won't turn them up because it'll take a little while, that Solomon had people coming to him each year, and they bought presents, they bought gold, they bought all sorts of different things. And so the ambassadors came, as they will in the future time. And the nations traded their material wealth for spiritual instruction, coming annually to Jerusalem for instruction. So they came to listen to Solomon as well, just like the Queen of Sheba did and was impressed. And Solomon judged the poor, ordinary people. And someone mentioned this one as well, the two poor prostitutes living in the one house. And he didn't burn them as the law demanded, but judged them with grace. I think that might have been Ben. And a couple more. The king made silver and gold at Jerusalem as plenteous as stones. And the Queen of Sheba came to prove Solomon with hard questions. And they were riddles or trick questions. And she said, "I believed it not until I came." And people will do the same in the kingdom, won't they, that come up. So that's what happened in Solomon's time. And there's plenty more you could talk about. And it's very interesting to see what this man learned. But unfortunately, it all went a bit haywire, didn't it? And it took him 20 years to actually build the temple and to build his own palace. That was 20 years out of his life. And then he did lots of other things, like send ships to Tarshish and bring back gold. But it deteriorated very quickly. And we could spend some time looking at why, but perhaps we won't do that tonight. So looking ahead in Psalms, if you come over to Psalm 72, I just want to pick up on this theme here in Psalm 72. Of verse 12 and 14. And it actually stresses it in this chapter. If you actually come back to verse 2, it says, "May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. And let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. And may he defend the cause of the poor of the people and give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor." So we have this person who's going to be king in the future that will care for those that are downtrodden. And in verse 12, "For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. And from oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight." So what's one of the major problems in the world today and has been down through history? There's some of those things that we talked about, that there's no justice, there's no righteousness. There's a lack of peacefulness from where there's war and strife, like places like in Aden, in the Arabian Peninsula, and lots of other places. People suffer. The mothers, the babies particularly, suffer. So there's a class of people all around the world now that live in terrible poverty, in slums and ghettos, and so we're looking for a king to come who will be able to help here. And the characteristic is compassion. So we're going to look at a subject that we've heard a little bit about this year through various studies. The goal, it just means a redeemer. And it's about the kinsman redeemer. So where have we heard this subject before this year in our studies and exhortations? Sorry?
Ruth.
Ruth, yeah, so that was John Popel, wasn't it? So, and that was really beautiful, and he talked about the concept of the bird and the fluttering. Others? Someone talked about birds not long ago.
Sam.
It was Sam. Don't remember that Sam?
Vaguely.
He must have a lot going on in his life. But that's exactly what he talked about, the mother, and the principle of when you take a nest, don't take, you can take the eggs, but leave the mother and leave the nest so that, you know, things can go on. And Steve Hill talked about it here one morning too. And I'm not sure where it was from, but he talked about that concept. And John Popel's thing was about how looking after the poor was one of the key things that we can do, if you remember. And that's what's going to happen in the future age. Solomon, he did it pretty well because he brought prosperity, but it didn't last, did it? So we're going to have a look at... whoops, that's the wrong one. There should be a little video in here. No, it hasn't. Well, it might be after this. Anyhow, there's the principle. See the duck? Can you see that? I think it's a pup or something like that. That it's fluffed its wings up. And that's the principle of the Redeemer. We'll spend a few minutes on... It's a lovely sunset, you know, presaging the peace of the kingdom, isn't it, and the beauty. So, given what we've heard tonight about characteristics of Solomon, and Solomon as a forerunner of Christ, and how we have this protector-redeemer that's coming, what do we see our role as in the future kingdom? So we can spend just 10 minutes on looking at that. Who wants to lead off?
We'll be public servants.
Good one. Public servants. But not with the same overlap and...
I did say happy, but public, no, I'm not sure.
Happy
servants.
Oh, happy servants. I thought you said public servants. Sorry, I'm not hearing well. Okay. Happy servants.
I'd love to plant lots of trees and help restore the fertility.
That's a surprise coming from you, sir. So can I put restoring environment? Yep.
Educators.
Yeah, fantastic. Because how are people going to learn if there's not educators? And there's never been a more powerful time that we can educate than now with all the resources that we have to do it. Okay.
Celebrating.
Because just as the people were really happy in Solomon's time when peace came and there was wealth to spread around, they were celebrating, weren't they? Anything else?
I'm sure Alex would do a little singing.
Worship.
Worship, song? Yes, is that what you mean? Yep. But that talks about happy servants, doesn't it, who all have different abilities. So whether it's music or planting trees There's certain things that we all have qualifications for, isn't it? And just as we're building this one here, you can see here that these are the things also that we can all possess and add, isn't it? And like wisdom, well, the wisdom will be the ruler, won't it? But there'll be people who are happy servants who hopefully will have built up that wisdom in their character. And the things like justice and righteousness and obedience and peacefulness, well, they'll be established because he'll have the Jesus will have the authority to do those things. And then there can be largeness of heart and curiosity. So it's all the same. It's all the same things. And can we picture ourselves in one of those roles? And the other one that I thought is that we'll be all showing through that is compassion.
I've got one from the High Park group, and Joe Clifton lets us know we'll also be as judges, but maybe compassionate judges.
Yes. Once we have a changed nature, well, judgment and justice is a different story, isn't it? Whereas at the moment, judgment is not a good thing for us, really, in lots of ways, is it?
Leading annual pilgrimages.
Hmm. So pilgrimages. That's exactly what happened in Solomon's time, wasn't it? The nations came up and to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and they bought gifts. So, yep. Any more? Or when are they done?
I guess someone has to supervise the building of the temple.
Mm-hmm. So what will you need for that? What skills?
Skilled workers.
Yep.
Patience.
Yep, so we'll builders, supervisors. Yep. Okay. If we're feeling like that's getting close, that's good. So it's a pretty good picture for the future, isn't it? That we can all look forward to. And the time for learning is now. How we practice these characteristics ourselves is key as well. That it's a great time of learning, whether you're young or older. We've got time to do that in this age. And the best way we can do that is between each other, isn't it? And in our everyday life. So thanks for being good contributors. Thanks, Rob.